Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to Sunday night. I'm really thankful to Jesus. Tonight we're going to attempt, to do part six of running the race that is set before you. And so let me just say a prayer. Father God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this day and everything in it. Father, I thank you for all our partners and friends and those that will either see or hear this tonight or will see or hear it later. And I pray, Father, that by the grace of God, you'll give me the words and the ideas to share tonight what's on your heart about this. Amen and amen in Jesus' name. So we've been talking about running the race that is set before you. And Lord willing, this will be the sixth and the final message in that series. And I'm really asking for the grace of God on this message because this is one that's very near and dear to my heart. And it's one that I don't have the natural ability to talk about, so I really have to have the Lord's help to talk about it. And what this one would be called, if I had a name for it, would be relationship, building a relationship with God. Or it might be called relationship rather than performance. And so I'm a firm believer after all these years of learning how to be a Christian. I'm still learning, you know. We still learn how to be a disciple, how to follow Jesus. We learn every day, right? We keep learning. But one of the things that I'm persuaded is that everything rises or falls on our relationship with the Father, not our performance. And I think there's been a lot of stuff taught in the church over the centuries, and some of it is very much that God loves us or doesn't love us based on the level of our performance. Now, it's very, it can be complicated, but what I discovered is that I don't have the natural ability to do good works or not do bad works. As we talked about in an earlier message, we talked about the grace of God doing it. But what I discovered is that if I keep my relationship with Him close, if I stay close to my Father, if I stay close in relationship, then out of that comes a much better performance. I'm able to do what I need to do, and I'm able to not do what I need not to do. And so, you know, years ago, Amy Grant wrote a song, and when she wrote it, I'll be honest, I really didn't understand the lyrics. She said, "Being good is just a fable. I just can't because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord." And I remember thinking, well, aren't we supposed to be good? What do you mean? I didn't understand it. But now looking back, I understand it a lot better, that we don't have in us the ability to keep the law perfectly or even love God perfectly or be a perfect disciple or do everything right. You know, I think it was James that said we all stumble in many ways. But one thing we need to understand is that the love of God for us is constant. It is undivided. It is unconditional. And so God loves us. He died for us. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. We had never done a single good work by the Spirit because we weren't born again. We'd never really been able to accomplish anything. We didn't even know Him yet. We weren't even born again yet, and yet He died for us because He loved us unconditionally. He was trying to reinstate relationship. So relationship was stolen in the garden. It was stolen by deception. It is the key thing in the garden, the primary thing we had in the garden before the fall. If you would have been there, and in a way you were there in Adam, right? We were all there in Adam. But if we were there before the fall, we would have seen something that we can only have in Jesus today. Before the fall, the Lord God came in the garden and walked and talked with Adam in the cool of the day. They were friends. They were best friends. They were father and son. They hung out together. There wasn't any Adam going off to pray about stuff or, you know, write his confessions. They spoke together openly. And there was an openness and a trust. That fear, the wrong kind of fear and the hiding out because, oh, I'm not good enough, that came with the fall. Because suddenly when Adam's so-called eyes were opened, that whole relationship was severed. But listen to me, it was never severed on God's side. It was only us that changed. God never changed. God still desires to walk with us in the cool garden every day, every night, all the time. Even if you're messing up, even if you're falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down and thinking, I can't get up. You know, Lord, I'm just not good enough. I'm sure everyone's had some of those days in their life. And God has never changed, though. What happened in the garden only messed with us. It didn't mess up God. God is still in the garden in the cool of the day looking for those that'll walk with him. And so there's a battle on for your mindset, because if you don't understand this concept, you'll forever stay outside the garden feeling not good enough. The truth is we're not good enough, except that Jesus gave us his own righteousness in our spirit man. This is amazing. We became the righteousness of God. We weren't just given it as a gift. It says he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness. That means your born again spirit has become righteousness, which is your free ticket back into the garden, right? Jesus is the door. The door to what? Back into the garden, back into open relationship without interruption. You say, even if my flesh is messing up, yes. Now that might sound strange, but the Lord gave us the Bible because he wants you to understand the concept that his love for you never varies. And so even if you're having a problem, even if you make a mistake, even if you really blow it, God does not hide himself. God is always there waiting for you to say, Father, forgive me. I really blew it. Forgive me. This is what I did. It wasn't right. Help me know. What do I do now? Show me what to do now. But here's what the devil wants. It's the same thing he wanted in the garden. The devil's primary objective at all times is to sever your fellowship with God. And the reason is that the devil knows something that most Christians don't know. He knows that if you can walk in close fellowship with your Father, the devil can't get you. He can't beat you. He can't get his false belief systems into your head, because God will be speaking his truth to you. If you can understand these truths and walk in them, then you'll never have to have a bad day, even if you make a mistake, even if you blow it. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Do you know how long that takes? It's immediate. So, am I promoting sin? No, but I am going to tell you, I've been around the block a couple times, and I remember days when I didn't get it right. And it used to be, when I was young, that would keep me running from God because I felt so badly about myself. I loved God with all my heart. But because I had a wrong understanding of relationship, I would run away from the Lord himself. I would run away from him, and I would hide out from him. And God himself had to teach me, Holly, this is when I want you in my presence the most. I can help you. I can deliver you, and I can set you free. And what I began to learn was, if you get a hold of a true relationship with him, the way he defines relationship, not the way humans define it, but the way he defines relationship. If you can get that, then you will never have to have a day that you're separated from him or even feeling separated from him. That's an amazing thing. And so the devil works really hard at getting you to believe that there's a severing from God. He works really hard at getting you to believe that God doesn't want you around, or God wouldn't talk to you, or you know, the endless barrage of stuff. Oh, you've really done it now. Now you've done it so bad. Oh, God doesn't want to be with you. That is never true. And it will never be true as long as you live. It doesn't matter how far. Listen, it doesn't matter. The prodigal son blew it as bad as a person can blow it. You know. And the father waited and he watched. He waited and he watched, always for his son to come home. And when his son came home, the father didn't condemn him. He didn't yell at him. He didn't say, where have you been, you dirty dog? Where's all that money I gave you? He never said any of it. He knew. He already knew that. And he said, my son was lost and he's found. My son has come home. And he got the ring and he got the robe and he got the shoes and he threw a party because he loves his son. He loves his daughter. And so the love of God wants you to bathe in the love of God. And I think what has happened is we've had a misunderstanding, because we know God is a holy God. And we know there's scriptures that tell us to be holy, and we think, how do I do that? And I want to tell you, it's by relationship that you do that. It is relationship that helps you become, have holy manifestation. It is through relation. It's through time in the Holy of Holies. So every day when you are with God, every day when you're talking to Him, every day when you're interacting with Him, what I found out is there's this huge time waster that the devil tries to get us into, the cycle of beating yourself up, the fake apology. And I don't mean fake, you mean it, but it's beating yourself up for 2 days and you're constantly apologizing over and over. Sometimes you're apologizing, you'll catch yourself apologizing and you don't even know what you're apologizing for. And it's a trick of the enemy. He's trying to get you to feel separated from God. But the whole time God is loving you, saying, let's not waste time on that. If you get a hold of this, you'll never waste time on a mistake again. I waste, you know what, if I blow it, I waste zero time. I don't have time for that. I have too much to do. I go to God immediately. I say, oops, I really blew it. I confess it as sin. Forgive me, Lord. I receive what the blood of Jesus bought for me. Okay, what now? And I move right on. Because I used to waste days, months, maybe even a year, because I condemned myself. I condemned myself. So the Lord wants to build an understanding. And it's hard for people who are under the fall or in a fallen earth to understand relationship with God, because we don't have in the earth realm, we don't have true relationship, right? We don't know what unconditional love means. Most of us have never had that modeled. I'll be honest, I've only ever known one person that had what I think was pretty close to unconditional love, and that was Edgar. And Edgar had to teach me. God, I was saying to God, how can I teach this? You know, this is something, it's like the ABCs. Everyone knows this. And the Lord said to me, how long was it before you understood a true marriage relationship? How old were you? And I said, well, I was 39. That's when I met Edgar. And I realized that many people have never had a real love relationship, not just in marriage, but think about even in friendship. Have you ever had a friend that you were so close to that you could trust them with your life? You could trust them not to tell your secret, or that they would love you even if you weren't perfect, even if you talked about your flaws. I had a friend once. We're still close, but I don't get to see them very often. But there was a period of time we were canoeing. Every week, canoeed every river. in 250 miles. We canoed before work and after work and on the weekends. And we were about 18, 19 years old. We were really like two little kids. And we shared everything. We talked about everything. And we got to be close enough that we actually even talked about our own faults. We talked about why we behaved stupidly or why we did certain things. And there developed a safety of knowing this person is my friend, even if I have faults. This person loves me, even though I'm not perfect. And most people, we don't let see our real self, because all of us have things we think, oh, if I show them that side of me, will they not like me anymore, right? Most people wear a mask to work, and I don't mean the kind that we've come out with in the last year. I mean most people wear a mask to church and to work, sometimes even at home. But here's what we must never do, is wear a mask with God. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that there are people who are so afraid of God in a wrong way, not the true fear of God, but in a wrong way, that they feel like if they aren't good enough when they appear before God, He won't love them. And so there's a mask. But you know, God loves you. He has known you since you were in the womb. Have you ever seen a father dote over his little baby? Have you ever seen a father so proud of his child that his buttons are just about to pop off and the kid, you know, is a drooling, blithering, you know, not doing anything right? But the father isn't proud of the child because of the child's behavior or their performance. It's because it's their child. You know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is my own kid. And that is exactly how God feels about you. And that kind of love and that kind of pride, God has pride in his kids. He, not the wrong kind of pride, but he's proud of his kids. He loves his children. You know, one day I was driving in a car and I was asking the Lord, why do you love people so much? We're not very lovable. And sometimes it's hard for me to like people, and sometimes I don't like myself very well. How can you love us so unconditionally? How do you love us the way that you do? And he said, because I knew you when. And as he began to share with me his heart, he said, I see every person as I made them to be, not with all the effects of the fall. See, the fall destroyed so much. Our flesh nature, it's kind of broken. Not our spiritual man, not our born again spirit, but our flesh nature, it's pretty broken. You know, it was broken, and that put everything out of course. And one of the worst things it did is it caused our spiritual perceptivity to be broken. So now, even if God showed up in the garden in the cool of the day, we could no longer understand because we no longer had our spiritual ears. Before that, there was revelation, there was knowledge, there was wisdom, there was an open communion. After that, God talked and we went, huh? We didn't understand, right? Because certain things were broken. It says the whole world lies in darkness. The foundations of the earth were out of course. That happened at the fall. And our sin, our nature, became sinful. And so what Jesus has done is create entryway back into garden state. If you can go with me here. He is the door back into garden state, or back into an open, abiding, permanent love relationship with the Father. Even though our flesh is still imperfect, right? Paul said it, in my flesh dwells no good thing. But in your spirit, if you're born again, that part of you, that's the recreated you. And what God was saying is, he sees that's how God sees. Think about this for a minute. God is spirit. And it says, all who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you know that when God communicates to you, he's communicating with your born again spirit, not your flesh, not your agenda, not your earthly thinking or your intellect, not your emotions, not your mind so much. He's communicating with your born again spirit. That's why some of you have trouble hearing God, because you're listening with the wrong ears, right? We're to listen with our inward man. That's why we say, you know, open the eyes of my heart. And that's why it's hard to talk about relationship, because relationship isn't an intellectual understanding. One time someone said to me, you know, why don't you teach on worship? And I thought, how can I? That would be like trying to teach someone how to fall in love. You know, I wouldn't know how to begin to teach that. When you fall in love with somebody, there's no rhyme or reason. It can't be taught. You're just a guy. I remember the first I fell head over heels for a man, and wrong guy, by the way, so I never ended up with him, but I was so smitten. I mean, I couldn't think about anything else day and night. I was smitten. But how could you teach someone that? You couldn't. And what I'm trying to say is, the love between God and his kids, it can't be taught intellectually. It has to more be caught by your spirit. And I believe most of you are in love with Jesus. You have fallen in love with God. But here's the problem we have, is that we've been taught this conglomeration of all kinds of different things. So we've been taught sometimes that our performance moves the God level, the thermometer, the God thermometer of love up and down, you know, because, oh, I was bad today, God's not happy with me. Oh, I was good today, maybe God's happy with me. And that is so foreign to God's thinking. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And he is looking at the real you, which is your born-again spirit. And when I said to him, how can you love people? He said, because I knew you when. I'm not looking at your outward appearance. I'm looking at who you are on the inside, and that person I created you to be, which is the person coming forth. You're not yet the person God has called you to be, and I'm not either. We are becoming. We are in the process of becoming the real you and the real me. This has to do, your real identity is in your born-again spirit. And if you have wrong ideas about who you are in God, ask God to help you understand who you really are. Because if people told you you weren't capable, you weren't able, you weren't smart, you weren't athletic enough, whatever, they are looking at a false measure. It's like a false balance, false weights and balances. By the way, God hates those. It's a worldly measure. We monitor somebody because, oh, they're a great athlete, or they drive a great car, whatever, they're real smart, or they're well-spoken, blah, 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 blah. It's endless. We have all these judgments and measures that we use on each other. We all have them. Let's not lie. We have them. We monitor preachers. We monitor each other. We monitor family members. We monitor, and judge. We don't mean to, but there it is. But the judgment is off because we are judging people based on Earth's system. But God, you know what God says? This is how God sees you. Mine. You're mine. You're my own. Listen, when it says you were adopted, that word is not like we would adopt a kid legally from another family. It means more like born into his family, becoming his very own, as his own child, as though you were born of God or born from above. You're his very own kid. And no one is going to take you out of God's hand. And so it is okay to go to God and say, listen, I have this giant fault. You know it. I know it. I don't seem to be able to fix this, but I believe you can help me and you can walk me through this. See, you know what we tend to do and what I used to do is we say, I'm not worthy. God doesn't want to be around me. I don't seem to be able to fix this, so I'll avoid God. I'll go to church maybe, but I'll keep my mask on and I will just kind of avoid God. Did you ever avoid God? Did you ever keep your eyes averted, you know, because you were afraid that God wasn't pleased with you? I have good news for you today. God loves you and he will love you all the days of your life. You say, even if I blow it? Yes, honey, even if you blow it. Now, does he want you to stay in that condition? No. And the reason he doesn't want you to is because when you open the door to the enemy gets in there and he can do you harm. And the reason the Lord says, go and sin no more. Remember what Jesus said to the man? The man who was, at the pool, right? And Jesus said, you know, do you want to be healed? What a crazy question for somebody who's sitting by the healing pool for all those years. I believe the Bible says 38. Of course he wanted to be healed. And the guy starts to whine, no, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. And Jesus heals him. But then he says an interesting thing. He says, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, if you didn't know God very well, you would be tempted to think Jesus is saying, if you sin again, you're really going to get it. God's really going to nail you. But you know what he was saying? He was saying, you opened a door to the enemy. Don't do that again, because the enemy will come in seven times worse. Don't open. That's why he doesn't want you to sin. That's why he likes holiness, is it's a protection for you. Holiness is a protection. And here's the news. We don't even have our own holiness. Being good is not holiness. I'm trying to talk about relationship, but it's hard to do without talking about holiness. Holiness isn't something you do. Holiness is something that he is, that flows through you when you fellowship with him in relationship. And so when people try to do performance for God, it doesn't work, and it's like a fake holiness, and it's not really fruitful. But if we hang out with God, no matter what kind of day we're having, he does the thing through us, and we think, wow, look at that. Look at that, that habit dropped off. Look at that, that temptation is gone. Look at that, I'm able to walk in holiness, but it's not even mine. It's his, but really what I'm doing is I'm hanging out with my best friend, right? And his holiness, my Father's holiness, is perfect. And if I am close enough to him, that begins to wash away my junk, right? If you hang out with God enough, even the junk in your flesh will start to fall off. So you just stay in the presence. Just keep going back in. You just keep going back in. And the one voice you must never listen to is that the enemy, his big hope is that you won't go back in. That by condemnation, by feeling guilty, by the devil beating you up, he can get you to stay out of God's presence, right? Because of guilt. That's what the devil wants, because he knows if you get in the presence of God, it's all over for him. He knows it's curtains for the devil, right? Because in the holy place where you hang out with your Father, those things just fall off. They just do. They just fall off. Is it day one? No, not always. Some things it takes a while, but you just keep going in. You just keep hanging out with the Father. So what happens to us? We learn a lot of tools. We have a lot of tools in the kingdom, and they're very good ones, right? Someone teaches a great motivational series on prayer. I have this great fire 'em up series on prayer, and it's truth, and it's the basis of everything we do is in prayer. But if someone were to take that and make it a formula, they might find that they failed. So some people might take the prayer tool or the warfare tool or the positive confession tool. All of these things are of God. All of them are truths. The faith tool, there's a million of them. But what we do is we hear a great sermon, or even better yet, something helps us 1 year, and the next year we say, well, this works for me, I'll do that again. Then what's happened is, it's like saying, well, I used that screwdriver last year to fix this, so now I'm going to use it in this new situation, but now it's not the right one. But by relationship, you go to God and you say, boy, I'm in a situation here, I don't know what to do. And he may lead you to do something that doesn't even make sense to you, but what he's doing, he is going to tell you which tool in the toolbox to use. It's not a formula, it's what we do today. Because what we do today won't be what we did yesterday, and it won't be what he'll tell us to do tomorrow. Because the situation, he's the only one that can see the whole thing. So he's trying to get us to trade in, if I could say it that way, to exchange performance for relationship. This is going to sound like a strange thing to say, but if you could accept the fact that your flesh doesn't have the ability to be a good Christian. You know, I was talking to a lady, I was trying to help her, and I could see she was like, I'm good, everything's good, I have it together. And I thought, okay, I'm glad you do, because I don't. And what she was doing, she was afraid to be herself or admit that she could ever have a problem. And I totally get that, and no condemnation. But what does that mean? There's a wall up, so I can't help her, and I don't know that God can help her. But what's greater is if we can say, you know what, I don't even have the ability really to be a good disciple. I don't even fully know what that means. That's something I'm going to spend my entire life learning. My entire life I'm going to learn how to be a disciple, because I don't think any of us really know yet, because there's so much more than we've understood in the body, in my opinion. And I'm learning every year more and more. But I'm devoted to becoming a true disciple of Jesus, which means I'm learning more every day. Well, that means I come knowing that in my flesh dwells no good thing, and that if anything good comes out of me, it came through my born-again spirit, which was in connection with his spirit, and he was helping do the thing through me. So if this sermon comes out decent tonight, I promise I couldn't do it, because relationship is almost impossible to talk about, right? Because it's a matter of the heart. So if it comes out okay, we can know that it wasn't me. We know it was the Holy Spirit giving me clues and tips and trying to help me not stumble over my words as I speak, right? And if it comes out no good, I'll say, whoops, you know, we'll try again. We'll try to do that one again another time. But because I know that I'm accepted in the Beloved, I know this is a strange message, but if I know that I'm accepted in the Beloved, even having a fault, even having an inability, one lady told me, oh, you know, when you preached on the covenant, that was really great. But when that guy preaches on it, oh, boy, that. And, you know, I don't doubt that, because I'm sure there are people who know lots more than I do about different subjects. But I'm okay with that, because my job, I know I finally old enough that I finally know kind of what my job is. So I don't have to do his job and her job and their job. God loves me for who I am, and he knows I'm learning to become, and I want you to catch this, the person he created me to be in the spirit, right? You are becoming the real you. The real you is who God defined in the spirit, not the fallen you. There is, I know this sounds strange, but your flesh was born after the seed of Adam. It says that through Adam, death passed upon all men. In other words, we're all born in a fallen state. Our propensity is towards sin, not holiness, our natural person, our mind, our will, our emotions, our physical body is more prone because we were the children of Adam, right? Seed of Adam. Jesus came so we might be born again by the seed of God into being the seed of God, right? So our nature in the spirit is like Jesus. And so we have to become okay with that concept of, okay, I get it that in my flesh dwells no good thing. I get it that in my flesh I'm going to make mistakes. And I can accept that because I also know that in me dwells the righteousness of God and my spirit man. In me and in you, in every one of you, dwells this amazing spirit being that, by the way, is the one I'll get to talk to in heaven. In heaven, when I see you on the street, I'm not going to talk to your flesh as it looks right now with all its mistakes. You're not going to talk to my flesh with all its mistakes, right? All my faults, you're not going to see that. We're going to see the born-again spirit, which will be more, which is more real, right? More real than this. And it will be perfected, glorified. It's amazing. That person that you will be in heaven exists today in your mortal body. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The problem with you is you don't really know who you are on the inside. And you've looked so long at all the stuff on the outside. And we are as critical, most of us are as critical of our own self as we are of other people. We judge ourselves. We judge others against this crazy false standard that the world supplied. It's garbage. Throw it out. What you need to do is exchange that. Exchange all your stuff, all your faults, all your mistakes, all your past, all your past. Here's something else. Everything that anyone ever said about you that wasn't nice. The wrong impressions people had. People judged you by what you could or couldn't do. Both good and bad things. Take all of it. Let's take all of it. Let's come before the cross. It's all trash. And we say, I'm exchanging this today. I'm giving this to you. I'm putting this all on the cross. All the natural abilities and inabilities. All the natural good points and bad. Putting it all on the cross. And I'm taking back the real me. I want you to do that tonight after you're done watching this. I want you to make the exchange. Because that person of the spirit, listen, even if your flesh sins, that thing doesn't sin. It's the righteousness of God in Christ. Whether you know it or not, your born-again spirit loves Jesus more than anything in this world. Even if you haven't dealt with all your idols in the flesh, you have in the spirit. Even if you're not perfect in the flesh, you are in the spirit. Even if you're not righteous in your flesh, you are in the spirit. And as you come to know who you are, that person is growing. And see, most people, I'm of the opinion that most people never really make that exchange and live their whole life with the frustration of trying to be a good Christian and not being able and feeling a break in relationship. Instead of spending time with God saying, okay, I get that. Hallelujah. I get it. That you love me. You love me as I am. Imperfect me. And you're helping me to become. You're helping me to grow up in all things to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right? You're helping me become who I am in the earth. I don't want to wait till heaven to do it. Some people will do it in heaven because they couldn't and wouldn't do it on earth or didn't understand how. Not me. I want to do it now. I want to do it before I go home. I want to become who Holly Bailey was supposed to be, right? Because there's things that were put in you in the very womb. There are things that were put in you when you were born again. That person is a holy thing. You know, C.S. Lewis said something. I'm just going to paraphrase it. I find this to be amazing. C.S. Lewis said that every person you meet will one day either be a creature so terrifying that if you saw it today, you'd be tempted to run in terror, or a creature so glorious that if you saw it today, you'd be tempted to bow down and worship, because that you're going to go one of two places, and your spirit man is either new or it's not. And he was saying that's who you are. He wasn't glorifying people. He was saying that your born again spirit is made in the image of God. Now, what we've done is we've allowed wrong ideas to mess with our relationship. We've allowed performance and judgments to stop our fellowship. But God never wanted that. His love for you The Bible says he's without variableness or shadow of turning. So you could imagine a light shining down on you, and it never turns. It's never variable. It never varies. It shines on you. You move closer or further, but it's only on you, right? Even if you have a bad day, even if you really made a blunder and you didn't want to, you come running back. Don't waste 5 minutes outside the presence feeling bad and beating yourself up. Run straight back into the Father and say, help me. You say, what if it's been 50 times? Help me, Lord. I can't even seem to fix this, but I know you can. I can't even seem to get myself free, but you can, Jesus. My faith is in you, not in myself. But I'm believing you to deliver me from this. And he'll deliver you. Just keep coming. The key is to stay in the relationship. God wants, there's someone here, I feel like I'm talking to someone that has lost hope for a certain behavior pattern. It's like you've had an addiction or temptation and you've lost hope of ever getting free. Don't worry about that. Accept the forgiveness of Christ and keep coming back to him and just say, you know what? I know I don't have the ability, but I'm believing you that you're going to set me free and that you love me no matter what. I remember when God was teaching me this, I had a problem and I couldn't seem to fix it. I tried every single thing I knew how to get set free and I couldn't get set free. And it took 8 years and I spent lots of time in guilt, condemnation and beating myself up and feeling like I was no good and why would God want me around? And God began to teach me. And one of the things he said to me, he said, when I died for people on the cross, he said, I saw the faces of those I was dying for. And he said, there was no person. He said, there was people that I saw and I knew them. And I knew it would take them, some of them 20 years to get free, some 40 years. Some would go through all of life and never get free. And I never said, oh no, I'm not dying for that one. That's too hard. That one's too far gone. Nope, I won't die for that one. No, he said, I died for all of them. Does that mean that we should not strive for holiness? No, we strive for it more than ever, but we have to understand what it really is. It's not just an outward set of behaviors. Holiness is a flow that comes from the throne, and it comes when our relationship is connected. That's why he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you stay connected, if the branch stays connected to the vine, the nutrients naturally flow through the branch. They will naturally flow. But if you disconnect, that's why Satan tries so hard to disconnect you through self-condemnation, right? Because if that branch disconnects, immediately it starts to dry up, starts to starve spiritually because it can't feed on the tree trunk, which is the Father. Jesus said, I'm the vine. We have to have his nutrients. So no matter what happened, what was the first thing that happened in the garden after the fall? They hid. They started to hide from God. That's exactly what the enemy wanted. He wanted to break the fellowship. And he's never changed. That's what he wants today. He wants to break the fellowship. But see, if you can get your mind transformed to understand the love of God, if you can receive the love of God no matter what your condition, every day, every night, if you can receive the love of God, then what can happen is you will be set free from those things that cause you to sin. You'll be set free from habits and addictions and temptations. You'll be an overcomer. That's what an overcomer is. It's not someone who overcomes it by their fleshy strength. It's someone who has hung out with God long enough that his power and his grace and his relationship and fellowship flowed through them in the presence to set them free, to set them free. The presence of God, the relationship of God sets us free. So that's what Satan wants, is to keep you separate. And I just want to say, for me, if there's never a, I'm going to try to find words for this. I've had people ask me to what school they should go to, what book they should read. I could make a recommendation, but I am not God. What you need to do is ask God the questions that you would ask any human. People tend to go to humans and get their opinions. Someone wrote me a a message the other day and said, okay, there's all these prophecies in the earth. What do you hear? And I thought, well, are you, okay, first of all, what are you asking me for? Go to God, go ask God. And second of all, what would it matter what I thought? Because if you're already hearing 10 prophets, are you looking for 11th to break the tie? I mean, come on. Where's our relationship with the Father? We need to develop it to the point where if the whole world falls away, we don't. I said we need to develop, each of us, each one of us needs to develop our relationship with God, where if everybody around you falls, that you stay close to God. That's the safe place. He is your safety. Living with God is safe. I don't care what's going on in the world. They can't get you when you're in Him. There's some places in God the devil can't go. There's some places in the presence that the devil can't go, can't. And it's safe. And there's protection there. There's great protection for you there. And so don't be afraid of the things to come on the earth. Just make sure you're close to the Father every day. And it doesn't, what do you say? Oh, okay, some of you, I can just see you doing the performance thing. Okay, so I need to read, you know, I need to read and I need to pray. Yeah, those things will build you up. And really, if you're going to run the race, those are like spiritual push-ups. Yeah, you should do that. But that's not the performance we're looking for so that God is happy with you. Those are the things that will keep you strong in the spirit, to keep you sharp so that you can make right choices, to stay in them, okay? But even if you weren't doing any of those things, you know, if I have a day and let's say I have a day and it's super busy and I don't have, you know, I don't get to do my Bible study and I don't get to sit around and pray in tongues and I don't get to, you know, do like sit and have a formal fellowship. And there are days that are just crazy like that. It happens. But you know what? I'm no less close to Him because all day we're hanging out. You know, we're hanging out, we're talking. He's with me when I'm making the coffee. He's with me when whatever I'm doing, we're together. Now, I would not want to live that way all the time because I'd lose my edge, because I need the food of the Word. I need the food of prayer. I need a stronger fellowship with Him. But that doesn't define the relationship. Can you see the difference? And so, like I might have shared this on one of the prior ones, but when I was young and I didn't know better, I accepted that, oh, we read our Bible, and I thought it was like this duty, this Christian duty. And so I made it my duty. So stupid. And when I would read, I really didn't get much out of it, but it would be like, okay, there I read so many chapters, there I did it. And God confronted me, and I was so ignorant, I didn't even understand what He was saying. He said, read 117, read Psalm 117. That was 2 cents. He said, there, you read 6 chapters. Are you happy now? And I didn't even get it. I didn't even get what He was trying to say. He was trying to shake me out of that duty performance thing, because that wasn't building the relationship. That wasn't relationship at all. It was me, you know, it would be like the same as those guys that used to lay on a bed of nails because they thought they were suffering for Jesus. Craziness, just craziness. So what God's trying to do is envelop you in an understanding of relationship. He is someone that you can trust if He can't trust anybody else. He is someone that will speak truth to you always. He is someone that will always lead and guide you into the blessing, into protection. And if nobody else, if everybody else around you is struggling, God will give you wisdom what to do. And that's the relationship you want. I believe God wants to raise the real you. Will the real you please stand up? I believe He wants to raise you up in understanding of who you are in Him. And that's done through fellowship, okay? So I'm hoping that this made sense. I pray that you come really close to Him, heart to heart. You know, being with God is really kind of like a love affair. It's Paul makes the comparison of the bride and groom because he wants us to understand it is a romance. It's more than someone you work for. You know, if you work for someone, you have a business relationship and you sit at a conference table and you make decisions. That may be part of this. There'll be times when you'll do that with God, but there should be times when you have your head on His chest. You're hearing His heartbeat. There should be times when you're snuggling. There should be times when you're laying at His feet, just singing to Him or kissing His feet and just loving Him. It's a love affair with God that we're having. And worship, it isn't some formal thing of singing a certain way or, you know, I found that when I'm worshiping, it kind of doesn't matter what I sing or It's just something that flows out of my heart. It's just my way of saying I love you. It's my way of singing to him that I love him and that he's more important to me than anything in this earth. And no matter how I get that said, I'm not good at it. You know, no one's good at it. But it's a joy to his heart to have someone love him. And that's really what it's about. All this other stuff, the do's and don'ts, come out of true relationship. So I just pray for you right now. I pray for every person that ever hears this. Father, I ask that you help and lead and guide them into a deep, abiding, wonderful, loving relationship where they're not only able to love you freely and openly, but that they'll be able to receive your love every day and walk in it every day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.